Graham Barnard here, BBC Radio Suffolk. It's the Drive Time Show. And exactly 50 years ago today, pirate radio station Radio City was forced, for want of a better description, it was forced off air. The popular channel broadcast from the coast of East Anglia, off the coast of course, DJ Tom Edwards had the dubious honour of closing down the station. Tom, though, went on to become a well-known voice on Radio 2 and regional Radio 4, as it was in those days. But when I spoke to Tom earlier today from his home in Lincolnshire, he told me how he and Pirate Radio City first joined forces, and as we'll hear, Suffolk played its part.
I've just been thinking about this. In fact, my broadcasting career started in the county which you're now in, which is Suffolk, because I was a Pontins Bluecoat at their camp at Pakefield, near Lowestoft in Suffolk. And Pontins, and you know my story inside out, but I'll tell it again for people who don't know, is that Pontins had this glorified tannoy system called Radio Pontin. Pirate radio had just started up in 1964 with Radio Caroline, which fascinated the socks off me. I was listening into this station, amazing broadcasts, and even more exciting, it was illegal and coming from a ship. So other stations followed, like Radio London, Radio 270, Radio Scotland, and also Radio City. And I wrote to all the bosses of these stations saying, I want to be out there in the North Sea. I want to work for you. Nobody replied until a man called Reg Calvert, who ran Radio City, said, come down to Whitstable, Tom. I'd love you to come out to the station. And so I did.
And was it soon after that, or did you stay once you were there?
I stayed once I was there, and I never really... Well, I came back home to Norwich every now and then, but in fact, I made Whitstable my home. Reg Calvert was a good boss to work for. He saw something in me that I didn't see. And I went out to the station on this small ship called Harvester 2 from Whitstable Harbour, which took hours to get to the station. And of course, I gulped when I saw what was Radio City. In fact, it was a set of Shivering Sands towers built by a man called Maunsell during World War II as anti-aircraft towers. They'd been deserted by the army in the early 50s, laid empty for years, but when Radio City came on the scene, they were reoccupied. What I wasn't prepared for was to be hoisted 90 feet, Graham Barnard, on a pallet up onto the arrivals platform. To this day, I can't swim. But I went for it. The world still is my oyster, and certainly was then. But it was a dangerous exercise getting from the terra firma of Whitstable out into the middle of the ocean, then being hoisted up onto these towers, where I would stay maybe for 10 days, 2 weeks, and then I shared a home with one of Radio City's engineers, a great engineer called Phil Perkins. So I made my home in Whitstable for 2 years during my stay on Radio City.
But such was your desire to be on the radio, a very exciting time, no doubt. Did you realise at the time just how big and how popular pirate radio was proving to be?
I certainly didn't think that we were changing the sound of the wireless, I still love that word, to what it is today. What I knew that it was exciting, it was new, it was something that the public loved. They'd never heard anything like it before, because forgive me, on the BBC Light programme at the time, you may, if you were lucky, got 2 hours of needle time per week. But this was non-stop music. And of course, the public at large, huge listening figures. I mean, I think at one point there was something like 22 million people listening into pirate radio, not just Radio City, but all the other stations. And the government of the day, led by Harold Wilson, were very, very anti-pirate radio, because technically we were outside territorial waters and against the law.
Well, the rest is history, of course. When the day came, when the news came through that Radio City couldn't go on, how long before the station closed down? And, of course, you made the final announcement.
I did indeed. And it all happened very fast. For those of you who know the history of Radio City, and, of course, a lot of your listeners won't, is that it was a roller coaster of a life on board Radio City. And there were going to be takeover bids by Radio London, who wanted to make Radio City into a good music station, UKGM, United Kingdom Good Music. That didn't happen. And a business deal that went wrong between Reg Calvert and a man called Major Oliver Smedley resulted in Reg being killed by a 12-bore shotgun. And this gave the government of the day the impetus to race through the Marine Offences Act of 1967. Dorothy Calvert, who was Reg's widow, was a very strong lady. She immediately said after Reg's tragic death and the court case that she would take over the running of Radio City. And that lady, who I admired so much, was true to her word. But eventually, on this day, 50 years ago, she went to court, I think it was in Essex, and she was fined £100. A lot of money in those days. And she sent me a note. You have to remember, Graham, there were no mobile phones in those days. Can you believe it? So she had to send me a message in a tightly sealed envelope to Fred. She gave it to Freddie Downs, our skipper. He came out on Harvester 2. And I opened up this letter, which said to me, "Tom, the station has to close down tonight." I got that message late afternoon, I seem to remember. So I had to gather all the crew together and read the contents of Dorothy Calvert's letter to everybody. It was such a shock to me, especially. And then, of course, I started to get quite agitated, thinking, what on earth am I going to do for maybe the last hour? We had to close down at midnight that night. So I had to do some pretty quick thinking.
And what did you do for that last hour? Do you remember?
Yes, I do, vividly. I can remember it 50 years on. I can't remember what I did this morning, Graham.
None of us can.
As we get older. I didn't have any format at all. All the crew, I can even name the disc jockeys who were out there with me at the moment. There was Ian McRae, who's still alive and well, working in Australia in radio. Paul Kramer, unfortunately, no longer with us. Alan Clark, Ross Brown, RWB, and the late Adrian Love. And I just don't know what to do. So I thought I'd just get everybody in the studio at 11 o'clock. So I did an intro, which is categorized on YouTube everywhere, I believe, judging by what I've seen on social media this morning. I got everybody together, and we just talked about the events of Radio City, of the tragic death of our boss, Reg Calvert, of Dorothy Calvert, her two daughters, Candy and Susan. And we just talked about all manner of things, and we talked about our hopes and fears for the future. And it went well as far as I was concerned. So as I saw, and I've always been a stickler for time, you know that, Graham, as I saw the clock creeching to midnight, I thought we've got to play an appropriate piece of music, which was Shirley Bassey's The Party's Over, which we played. I said goodnight and goodbye to all our listeners. And then, as I always did at close down at midnight, I always insisted, if I wasn't on duty, that I wanted the national anthem to be played. We played the national anthem. The transmitter was switched off, and it was the end of Radio City on 299 metres.
The party's over.
It's 4 minutes before 12 midnight, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't rehearsed this, I don't know what to say, but for all the lads out here on Radio City, for us, at the present time anyway, the party really is over. And the time right now on Radio City, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly 12 midnight, so from Alan Clark.
Well, what can you say? Simply, goodbye, and many thanks to everyone. I've enjoyed my spell on Radio City, and keep in touch, okay?
Paul Kramer.
Thank you, Tom. I'd like to say a very good night to everybody and thank them for a most enjoyable 10 months, and I hope that the listeners do something anyway to get us back on the air, because tomorrow morning, when you switch on, there'll be nothing on 299.
RWB.
Thanks very much, Tom, Paul, Alan, Ian, and everyone. I've had a great time. I've learned a terrible lot about what people can do under extreme conditions, and I've really enjoyed myself. I'm looking forward to something in the future. I don't know what at this stage. And for me, it's bye.
Ian McRae.
Well, just goodbye and good morning, and thanks for everything in the past. Been wonderful listeners. Without sounding too sentimental here, all the best of luck to you, and goodbye for now. We'd like to, just very quickly, if I can here, Tom, perhaps, I know the other stations are listening to us right now. We'd like to sort of pass on any sort of goodbye messages, you know. Sure, we'll listen to them after we go off the air in a few minutes' time, okay?
Fine.
Bye for now.
Right, well, many thanks indeed to all the lads, and of course, our two technicians on duty at the moment, Graham, and also to Phil, and also our two DJs on shore at the moment, Adrian and Eric, and our other technicians, Bill and Ian West. For me, Tom, it was for the very last time on Radio City. It's a very good night to you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless, and thank you for being a marvellous audience. Good night, and Goodbye.